We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 11, titled Calculation of Time from the Atom, Text Number 21. Translation. O Vidura, in the Satya Millennium, mankind properly and completely maintained the principles of religion. But in other millenniums, religion gradually decreased by one part as irreligion was proportionately admitted. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. It's a very short purport. In the Satya Millennium, complete execution of religious principles prevailed. Gradually, the principles of religion decreased by one part in each of the subsequent millenniums. In other words, at present, there is one part religion and three parts irreligion. Therefore, people in this age are not very happy. Om jnana timirandasya jnana janashalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapkanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Bhutair Mahadhir Yaima Puro Vibhu Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solan Krishishta Bhagavan Vacham Sime Hare Krishna. In this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very nice description of the time is given in terms of calculation. If we see Srimad Bhagavatam, we can hear about different aspects of time. In fact, one of the philosophical subject matters of the Vedic scriptures is time. For example, we know from the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, where the five main philosophical themes are presented, and one of them is Kala or time. In fact, Sripad Ramanujacharya, in his commentary, he delineated these five topics of Bhagavad Gita. And we can see in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada again, interestingly, borrows another theme or another explanation from Sripad Ramanujacharya. That is about eternality, Shashwata, that which is present all the time. He says, he quotes Ramanujacharya and he says that eternal means there is no beginning and there is no end. So he says it is according to the commentary of Sripad Ramanujacharya. In fact, if we want to understand something which is eternal, it is not possible. According to logic or according to reason, according to rationale, if we want to understand something which is eternal, or even if we want to understand the term eternal, it's not possible. We can get some kind of hint what is meant by eternal by saying, okay, there is no beginning and there is no end. That's all. It's again just a statement just to support our logic. However, that doesn't completely define what is eternal, or it cannot give the realization of the eternal, because that is beyond us, because we are limited in all different ways. In fact, Yamunacharya writes regarding this, that in the material world, the conditioned beings are constrained by three factors. One factor is time. We know we are constrained by time. Second one is space, right? And the third one is the mind. So in fact, we are placed in a certain time and space, and then also we have a certain kind of mind. So we are limited in all these three ways, internally and externally. So that is the nature of the conditioned beings. Now here, in Srimad Bhagavatam, the presentation of time is very interesting. And we can see that this particular chapter is dedicated to the calculation of time. At the same time, the description of time is presented primarily in the form of its effects. So we can see it in Bhagavad Gita, we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the time is presented, what are its effects? That is the most of the description about the time, its effects. So if we talk about the calculation, there is only one chapter that is dedicated for the calculation of time. There are not too many chapters on calculation of time. However, these terminologies are used again and again in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita. For example, we can see, you know, different lava, kshana, truti, different forms of different measurements of time in a very, very minute, smaller scale, which is even much smaller than a second. That is being used in throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, when we come to the higher periods of time, in terms of not just the years, when we are talking about the yugas, and when we are talking about divyayugas, and when we are talking about manvantaras, and then kalpas. So when we talk about the bigger calculations of time, that is also being used in Srimad Bhagavatam throughout. However, the description and the calculation aspect of time is only restricted to one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is one way of presenting time, or one aspect of time that is being presented. Now, if you try to understand what is time, technically, there is not so much of description in Srimad Bhagavatam or in any other Vedic scriptures or in any of the Acharya's commentaries. Because one time, I wanted to understand about time more. So I thought I will try to read something, I will ask the authorities like Bhanu Maharaj, to where can I find more aspects of time, more understanding of time. So I was trying to do a bit of a research in this regard. But what is time? That understanding is, practically speaking, not there. It is there, we have some understanding, like it is an energy of Krishna. And then again, when we try to understand what is time, yes, it is an aspect of the Maya, the Mahamaya, the Bahirangra Shakti. The Bahiranga Shakti is the ruling potency of this material world, and the Bahiranga Shakti, the Maya Shakti, is ruling this material world through the agency of time. So time is considered the subtle aspect of Maya. However, there is not much more than that about the time. Then the rest that is presented about time is the effects of time. Then one can ask, why such effects of time is so much stressed in the Vedic scriptures and in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavatam, everywhere? Why? Because we are under the clutches of time, and if we understand the effect of time, then we can think about going beyond the clutches of material time. So the whole presentation of time is to make us realize that there is no hope within the clutches of time. So the material world means we are strictly under the clutches of time, as Bhagavad Gita says, Kalosmi Loka Kshaya Krit. I am the time which is of nature of destructive. It is destructive. I am destructive time. So this aspect is stressed again and again in the Vedic scriptures, because then we get serious about our spiritual life. So then we understand this world is temporary. So many things are not presented in Bhagavatam in detail. For example, what is time? You know, the technical definitions of time in itself, it's not there.
It's an impersonal feature of the Lord.
Yes, it is there. It's energy of the Lord, an impersonal feature of the Lord. But it is not going beyond that. Right? Impersonal feature, how much can we understand? So, you know, impersonal feature, yes, we cannot see a form as such. Except we can see Arjun saw Kala Rupa in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Other than that, there is no physical form of time. However, the effects of time is described again and again. Here in the verses coming further, it is mentioned, okay, here in this verse also the focus is given to the effect of time. Because in Satyayuga, all the religious principles were intact. That is an effect of time. And as the yugas are progressing, one by one, the religious principles are dwindling and dying. And now there is only one religious principles, not necessarily intact, but maybe there to some degree. So this is the effect of time. It doesn't explain what is time. So it's a very complicated topic. Even if you try to understand from a scientific perspective, one time I wanted to get a view on time from a scientific perspective. So one person gifted me a book. It was about time. It was a scientist had written about different studies of time. So one interesting thing presented was that in past few decades, and even if you consider many decades, the understanding of time in itself hasn't increased so much. In other words, still it is an unknown factor. No one knows what is time. Again, the effect of time is known. For example, the relative experience of time. It is a common feature if you see some of the, you know, our Bhagavatam, and if you see the scientific world, we can see there is a relative experience of time. The dimension and the realm in which it is presented could be vastly different, but we can see, yes, of course, there is difference in the experience of time. You know, as the age, we experience a different kinds of time, you know. And as the enthusiasm for something, we experience time in a different way. And if you are enthusiastic about something, we feel, okay, the time is going flying. However, otherwise, time is just rolling. So we have this relative experience even in this world. And it can vary according to the body. There is a different experience of time. Having a lower creatures to the human creatures to higher demigods and beyond. So there is a different experience of time. However, again, the time in itself is, you know, it's not much known. We don't know. It is an energy of the Lord. It's an impersonal energy of the Lord. And it has its controlling nature. Like that. Now, even though we say that there is, time is completely destructive in this material world, even in the spiritual world also, time exists. So if you say that there is no time in the spiritual world, that is not right. The only thing is that the time is there in the spiritual world, but not in its destructive feature. So if you see Srimad Bhagavatam, many of these time scales are being used in the pastimes of Krishna also. Say for example, if you see the song of the gopis are saying, Truti yugayate tvam apashyata. So you can see the measurement of truti, you know, one some part of a second, very minute amount of time. But that truti yugayate. So both the scales are being used. Truti is the minute amount of time, whereas yuga is such a huge amount of time. So the gopis are saying, truti yugayate tvam apashyatam. If we don't see you, Krishna, then we feel like a truti to be equivalent of one yuga. So this actually shows the love of Krishna's intimate devotees for Krishna. So we often say in our usual things, if you do some service or maybe the mundaners, they may do some mundane activity, and because of interest in that activity, they feel, okay, you know, it's like, you know, it's just flying. And if something is boring, we feel, oh, the time is not going at all, it's crawling. In the same way here, The gopis are saying, Truti, it is coming to the extreme. That is, Truti, yugayate tvam apashyatam. Similarly, on the other hand, we understand that when the gopis are with Krishna, then what happens? The time is flying. So Krishna made the night when he spent with the gopis, the whole night became the night of Lord Brahma. Think about that. Night of Lord Brahma. So it is like a kalpa period became the whole night. So in the spiritual existence, the time is expandable. So it's not like it's pressed by time. When we are doing an arati, we are pressed by time. We cannot just keep going and on and on. You know, here for example, doing an arati, the standard time prescribed is 20 minutes. So sometimes it can be a challenging. Right, you know, we had to offer, you know, 6 items or 7 items. Then we had to calculate, okay, how is the time going? You know, we look at the Lord, we offer and we look at the time. Are we on time? Because we cannot just go on and on. Because even in our service, we are very much restricted in time. That's the reason there is only a limited time. So those who are advanced devotees, so they act in this material realm. What do? They never waste time. Avyartha kalatum. One of the in the stage of bhava, one of the qualities of bhava is avyartha kalatum. Because the time is limited. So they have to utilize the time most in a most efficient fashion. So they are always, they don't waste time. So if you observe great devotees, they don't waste time. Everything like this, you know, everything. So fast. They take enough time for things, but at the same time, they don't waste time. So in the material world, everything is restricted by time. However, spiritual world, in the spiritual existence, the time is expandable. So that's why one night became the night of Brahma, no problem. It's not that Krishna was performing his pastimes and, you know, there was, he had watch, you know, just to take a look, you know, whether how the pastimes are going on. No, it is very natural and it is spontaneous. So the spontaneity of Krishna's pastime is not restricted by the time factor. That's the reason there is the Ashtakaliya Leela. Krishna's pastime, in 24 hours we can say, it is divided into 8 parts. So Ashtakala, again the term Kala is being used. So it can apparently look like the Kala is the controlling factor. But it is not. So again, it is expandable. So we cannot really think about an existence which is without the control of time. We are very much in time. So we cannot understand what is meant by eternal. We can define in so many different ways. That there is no beginning, there is no end. In fact, Madhvacharya points out that time is eternal by giving a very interesting logic. So he says that, okay, assume that there is a point in which the time is starting. Okay? So if you assume that there is at one particular point the time is starting, so you are actually cutting. Okay, you are saying the time is starting from here. Alright, at this point, the time is starting. If you say so, then the problem, the logical problem is that by that activity in itself, you are creating a past and a present. So past, present and future. Can you see? Logically, so it is not possible. Madhvacharya's presentation are just based on logic. You know, many arguments are just based on logic. So his presence, if you point out, okay, this is the point in which time is starting, by the same activity, you are actually showing that the time is eternal. Because by that activity, you are defining present, you are defining past, and you are defining future. Interesting. So in many ways we can see it is eternal. Another way of saying it is Krishna's energy. It's an impersonal aspect of Krishna. It means it has to be existent all the time. In one way or the other. So, in terms of creation, when the Pradhan was there, which is the unmanifested, undivided, homogeneous matter, when it was agitated by time. So that's why Srimad Bhagavatam 3rd canto, I think we might have seen it before, it is mentioned Kala Chodita. The term used is Kala Chodita. Kala Chodita means agitated by time. So the material time in the form of the lotus glands is actually touching the Pradhan. And from that point, the creation is starting. In fact, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting point about time. Because if there is no time, there is no possibility of the existence of cause and effect. Does it make sense? If there has to be a cause, and if there has to be an effect, then there has to be time factor. Think about it. If there has to be a cause and effect, there has to be time factor. In other words, if karma has to exist, there has to be time. If there is no time, there cannot be any karma. That's why when we have this diagram, you know, where the karma sequence is depicted, we can see that there is always an action. Papa is there. Okay, when we start from avidya, then bija, right? Avidya, ignorance. Bija, the seed of sinful activity. Then from there, that seed of sinful activity comes the papa, or the sinful activity in itself. So one is in the subtle form, then the activity in itself. Then what is there? There is the aprarabdha karma, aprarabdha. That is the effect which is not yet manifested. And then there is prarabdha. So there has to be a time difference. It can be quite subtle, it can be a fraction, but there has to be a difference between the papa and the prarabdha karma. Can you understand? Prarabdha karma means the manifested reaction. So we can see cause, one of the causes as the papa, the activity in itself, and the effect is prarabdha karma. So it goes through the stage of aprarabdha, means that is showing the time factor. It's showing, okay, maybe we may get an instant reaction, but even though we say it is instant, still there is a fraction of a time. So there is a cause, and cause is producing the effect. And then of course it is going as the proclivity, as the kutam, and then going back to the sinful seed. Right? So this is the karma cycle. If you see, there also we can see there is effect. There can be instantaneous effect, it can be delayed effect, it can be for many lifetimes, but still there is the time factor playing a role in the effect of karma also. So significant is karma in the material world and its function. Then again, going back to the spiritual realm, time plays another interesting role. As in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter, it is mentioned the effect of time in the pastimes of Krishna. Kalena vrajatalpena gokule ramakeshavu janubhyam sahapanubhyam ringamano vijahrutuhu. So it is mentioned, it is specifically mentioning the growth of Krishna. So Krishna has a Satchinananda form, right? So if we have a Satchinananda form, or the form that we perceive of Krishna is not at all material, it is Satchidananda, it is completely spiritual. And by definition, when we talk about the swaroop, the original form of that of the Lord or that of the living entity, that cannot be subjected to time, that cannot be subjected to change. Right? Okay, our material body is subjected to change and it is changing all the time. But our spiritual self, it's not changing. Right? That is the whole meaning of depiction given in Bhagavad Gita. We can see in the second chapter, we can see the picture also, right? Kaumaram yavanam chara tatha dehandara prapta dhirasatra namuhyati. So we show, okay, the body is changing, but the soul is not changing. At the same time, when we show the same picture of Krishna, still we can see a change, right? Can we draw the picture of Krishna in the same fashion? To some degree we can. Yes or no? Can we draw the picture of Krishna from his babyhood, just coming from the womb? Then, you know, he has his, you know, little bit as a bit more grown up, then the babyhood, then yavanam, right? We can see that there is a growth for Krishna also. Even though he is in his swaroop and his Satchidananda form is never subjected to deterioration. And in one sense, there cannot be any change. But still we can see growth for Krishna. So how can we reconcile this point that Krishna's body is growing and the Satchidananda form is not subjected to time? And Bhagavatam very clearly says that there is the effect of time. Kalena vrachadalpena, that is, as the time progressed. Then we can understand this in two ways. One way is that Krishna's form in all his leelas, let it be balya, let it or Kaumara, let it be Pauganda, or let it be Kaishora. So Balya is his babyhood. Pauganda, it is, you know, bit more grown up, so where he can play with his friends. And Kaishora, where he has his relation with cowherd girls. So even if you consider the three aspects, the Kaumara, Pauganda or Kaishora, one can understand that all these forms are eternal. So there is no, it's not that any of this form is a temporary form of Krishna. So it's again an interesting and an inconceivable point in one sense, that how can we understand that all these forms are eternal, it's always present. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives an explanation to this by giving an example. He says that the Lord's pastimes are running in different universes all the time. So now, in this universe, maybe 5,000 years back, Krishna's pastimes took place. And some other universe, now Krishna's pastime is going on. So if you consider the multitudes of universes, everywhere Krishna's pastimes are going on. But not necessarily in the same stage of Krishna's pastime. So in one place, maybe Krishna's Kaumara Leela is running. In one place, Pauganda Leela is running. One place, Kaishora Leela is running. So it is like a movie. You know, if you watch movies, there are many releases to same movie. It's not just in the one country, in the one state, in the one city, in the one movie theater, one movie is being released. It is simultaneously released in different places. And if you see the whole thing according to the time scale, you know, we also have different time scale, time zones. So in different time zones, these movies are released, right? So currently one movie is running at in one country at one stage, and some other country at some other time the same movie is running. In the same way, Krishna's pastimes are continuously running. So now somewhere Krishna's Balya Leela, Kaumara Leela is running. That too in different stages of Balya. The beginning of Balya, the middle of Balya, the end of Balya. Similarly, the beginning of Pauganda, the middle of Pauganda, end of Pauganda, beginning of Kaishora, middle of Kaishora, end of Kaishora. So in all these different stages, Krishna's pastimes are running all the time simultaneously. So in that sense, also we can see that Krishna's pastimes are eternal and Krishna's all forms are eternal. Then, if you see, in terms of relation, one can say that, okay, it is said that Balya, the Kaumara, is the suitable time for Mother Yashoda to reciprocate perfectly to Krishna. Because that's where the Vatsalya Ras is in its peak. Now, what happens afterwards? So Krishna is grown up. Even in the spiritual world, Krishna is always Navayavanamcha. He is always in his Navayavana, in the Kaushara phase. Then how Mother Yashoda would reciprocate and deal with Krishna if he is completely grown up? So it is said that even in that stage, for Mother Yashoda, when he sees Krishna, for her, Krishna is only a child. He doesn't care about his grown up body. For her, he is just a child, and the milk flows from her breast. So this is the love of Mother Yashoda for Krishna. So Krishna is grown up, it doesn't matter for Mother Yashoda. So in that way we can see that the effect of time is practically not there in the spiritual existence. And that which is there, it's a spiritual time, which doesn't have any deteriorating or devastating effect. So time is also used in service of Krishna in the spiritual world, in a different paradigm altogether. And in the material world, we have to use time in Krishna service. So the bottom line is this, that we are in the material world and we know that time is running and we know that we don't have a lot of time. So the question is how efficiently we can utilize our time. So first stage of utilizing our time is not to waste time. So because we are so much in the modes of material nature, we are so much afflicted by time, so we do waste time. We just think about our own day and night probably. We can see how much time we are wasting. Right? We just waste time. Sometimes it can be unnecessary chit-chatting in terms of association. We need to talk, we need to socialize, but it can take a lot of our time at the cost of our main Krishna conscious activities. Then we can just spend time in our mind. That is a huge waste of time. We just think unnecessary, and we even may worry about things. So that is a waste of time. Then we just do nothing. We just sit, do nothing. So we have a lot of expertise in wasting time if we look into our own life. Now, so the step one is not to waste time. That is how we can plan our day such that we are not wasting time. So this is the first step, step one. And the step two, we can always see in advanced devotees. What they are thinking is how efficiently we can utilize time. It's not a question of wasting time. So in our stage, we think, you know, how not to waste time. At least we had to do that. Then if we are actually okay, we are not wasting time, then we need to think how efficiently we can utilize time. That's which activity, if I perform, that will be most beneficial. Or what needs to be done. So there, one is thinking, what is the efficient way of doing a service? In that way, we are spending less time and then we can do more service. See, so that is an efficient use of time. So if you see the life of Srila Prabhupada, we can very clearly see how he was performing this avyartha kalatam, how he was not at all wasting time. All the time, it is said, an acharya is teaching all the time. All the time. Through all his activities and words, he is teaching. It's not that when Srila Prabhupada, when he was giving lecture, he was teaching. No. Or throughout all his activities, he was teaching everyone. So this is the position of an acharya. It's the position of a guru actually. He is teaching always. Then it is up to the disciple and the disciples and the followers to see what is the teaching. So if we observe, we can actually see that there are lessons from the lifetimes. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he used to read, sleep, what is minimally required. He used to teach all other times. Even when he was getting massage, he used to speak about Krishna. Or someone would read Krishna book. So utilizing time so efficiently. And the morning walk, it lasted about 1 hour or more. What he used to do, he used to preach so heavily during the morning walk conversations. So many times there weren't any guests, but the devotees would ask challenging questions. They would take the position of a materialist. They would take a position of a scientist, and they would pose so many different kinds of arguments, and Srila Prabhupada would answer those questions. So how efficiently he was utilizing that time. So now if you check Bhaktivedanta archives, we can see so many lectures, so many morning walk conversations, so many letters. Each and this is very amazing that Srila Prabhupada's followers, his disciples, how they collected everything. It was so wise. So intelligent to do that activity. That is copying, transcribing and having all the letters written by Srila Prabhupada. All the conversation that Srila Prabhupada had. Right? All the morning walks. Then of course all the Srimad Bhagavatam and other lectures. So this actually shows that a devotee is utilizing time so expertly, and an acharya, he is teaching the world by utilizing time always in Krishna service. It is mentioned in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya that it is impossible even to describe one movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The activities, the consciousness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even for one moment, it is impossible to describe. One can write one book on one movement of the Supreme Lord. Because it is so deep. Their thoughts, it is not just as we think on a material scale. It is not. It is so deep. It is dense, so much of density. Because of their love for the Lord. In similar way, if we understand even pure devotee's life also, even a second, it has so much of value. So that is avyartha kalato. This is the advanced stage of devotional service. So we need to try practice utilizing time in Krishna's time Krishna's service efficiently. So for that we can utilize whatever is required. We can have a planning, we can, it is required. Because then we can utilize efficiently. And things changes, of course. Because Krishna is in control, we may plan everything, but things changes. That happens. But still, it is good to have a plan. You know, writing down, okay, what am I going to do? It is just like, if one doesn't have a plan, when am I going to chant my rounds, most of the time one will be chanting before sleeping. If one doesn't have a plan for, you might have, you say many of you are living in the temple, so there is a given, allocated time for chanting. But if you think yourself, before coming to or moving into temple or living in this kind of an association, just living at home, trying to chant 16 rounds, then if you do not plan, then what happens? There is no set time, then what happens? Some chanting here, there, finally, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so sleepy. Oh, till 8 rounds to go. It's like one sannyasi devotee, he was mentioning that back in the days, they were distributing so much of books and they were working hard in Krishna service and they had this night chanting club. Okay, it starts from 10 o'clock onwards. So 10 o'clock devotees are looking at each other and telling, okay, how many to go? Yeah, how many to go? So if someone says 10 and beyond, then it's really danger. Oh, you know. Then if it is less than 4, 2, 3, okay. Otherwise, if more than 8 or more, it's like, you know, danger. 10 o'clock, you know, so tired. First of all, so tired. And they had this rule, how to finish the rounds. The rule was, don't stop chanting. Don't stop walking. So if you follow these two, then they can finish their rounds. Otherwise, there is no possibility of finishing the rounds. Right? So, this is back in the days. So people have learned their lessons and they have shared their lessons. So now we shouldn't try to reinvent the wheel, okay, by going through the same cycle. Rather, we should finish our rounds in the morning. So in that way, at least we should, you know, utilize time in Krishna service. And we see, as you know, I have actually heard from senior devotees who are very intensely serving Krishna. You know, they are in their 60s. So, you know, when we are serving or, you know, this time they open their heart and they tell different things. Many of them have told, you know, they have expressed their concern. I don't know how much time I have. I have these plans to serve Krishna. Some of them, you know, okay, I have to write, many of them have told, and I have to write such and such books. Some, you know, one time, you know, they want to write about Prabhupada. I want to write this and these things. And, some people have to write Shastric books. They have told, you know, I know this is my plan, but I don't know how much time I have got. See, understand, when we are actually moving closer, when we are moving to the other end, then we understand the value of time. You understand? Now, when we are young, we think time is there, right? Time is there. But when we are at the end, what happens is, we have now some devotional maturity, so that we have the desire to serve Krishna, and at the same time we see that there is not much time, then actually one values time. So we don't need to wait till then. So far we have wasted so much of time. It is mentioned that one need to be regretful of the time that we spent outside Krishna consciousness and just wasted with no value. So now at least we are in the association of the devotees and we have service, we have our sadhana program, we have so many books to study, and that too we can spend so much of time. If you don't waste time, even in Shastra, how much of time we can spend? We can go so deep in Shastra according to the time that we have. So now if we waste that time, I am speaking about myself, you know, if I waste my time, then what is the hope? So I would say, yeah, consider this point very seriously, and I have to consider myself this point very seriously. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for the very nice when you were telling about Prabhupada, Israel Maharaj told us, even not in London, that one day on a walk, Israel Maharaj said to Prabhupada, sometime we are in Maya. So when he said that, sometimes in Maya, he just put his stick down the ground. You're always in Maya. Why is this? It was a 15-minute lecture. Similarly, Prabhupada, when he came to Mayapur, after a few years from USA, then 5-10 hours he talk nicely, and then he starts chastising the devotees. Why this is not clean? Why that is not clean? You are cleaning only the floor, only roof. There is a bed. What did it mean? So that was the way. He was never wasting any time. And you know how much you are sleeping? 1.5 hours. So this is what they were doing. So my question to you is, you mentioned something about our spiritual identity. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah. It's very important to understand our spiritual identity. So, our spiritual identity is being discussed even from the beginning of our Krishna consciousness. So, that's why it is part of the Sambandha Gyan. It is part of our Sambandha. We need to understand Sambandha about Krishna. So, that's why it is mentioned that Jivar Swarup Hoy Krishna and Nitya Das. So this is very important, because without understanding this, we cannot perform devotion service effectively. So it is said, even if we chant without Samadha Gyan, it will be an offensive chanting. So primarily we need to understand that our Swarup is as Krishna's eternal servants. So if we understand that, then we can perform devotion service. It's like many devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, after their initiations, they were asking to Srila Prabhupada, I am such and such das, you know, what is the meaning of this name? So everyone, one after another, they were asking, what is the meaning of this name? What is the meaning of that name? So Srila Prabhupada said, do you understand the meaning of das or dasi? So everyone said, yeah, we understand. Okay, Prabhupada said, that is sufficient. If you understand that, then you can go back to Godhead. Not necessary to understand intricate details of each and every words. Right? So this is our Swarup. In fact, Yamunacharya makes this point very interestingly, I think from Stotra Ratna. He says, you know, I have served so many masters for so many lifetimes. Kamadinam, Kadina Kadita, Palita, Durnidesha. So these masters are Durnidesha. They are really bad. Okay? Kamadina, in the form of kama, in the form of lust, anger, greed. So many masters I have served for so many lifetimes. Tesham jata na karuna na trapa no pashantihi. But these masters, they never showed any mercy. They never showed any compassion. How much are we serve these kind of desires and our senses? Never they said that it is enough. You have served me so much. You know, one lifetime, 10 years you have served me, 20 years you have served me, or a few lifetimes you have served me. So it is enough. They never said enough. Still, I have served them with complete patience, determination, and without any shame. This is our position, okay? Tesham jata na karuna na traba na upashanthi utsrityetan atha yadupate sampradam labda buddhi. Now I have got this buddhi, I have got some intelligence by the mercy of the devotees. Sampradam, now I have got some intelligence. So tvam ayata charanam abhayam mam niyuksha atma dasye. So kindly engage me in your personal service, in servitude. That is atma dasye. So basically, ISKCON is providing an opportunity to engage in Atma Dasye, in servitude to the Supreme Lord. So that is our Swarup. So the whole Krishna consciousness movement is actually giving the opportunity to act in our constitutional position. Thank you, Prabhu Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Madhavi. What is that?
Like the desires come from the spirit soul. So how come spirit soul being spiritual, material desires are?
Okay, yeah. So how the question is basically how the material desires are coming from the spirit soul. Yeah, it is. we need to understand it a bit carefully. Yes, the ultimate source of the desire is only spirit soul. At the same time, we can see so much material desires. So is this material desires coming from the spirit soul? So the point is, now the spirit soul is not acting as the spirit soul, and the spirit soul is not desiring as the spirit soul. That is material existence. What does that mean? The spirit soul is identifying with the body, and primarily in this context with the mind. Okay, so the spirit soul, which is completely pure and spiritual, is identifying with the mind. And what is there in the mind? Mind has thinking, yeah, based on the lust. There are some, it is a repository of many thoughts, and there are many desires also sitting there. Because if we had experienced something in the material world, you know, I ate that ice cream, okay? So that desire is sitting, okay, the ice cream was good, you know, that thought is there. So the mind in itself will bring forth so many kinds of desire. We cannot say it as not as a complete desire, as a different kinds of thoughts, different kinds of experiences, which is coming to the forefront of the mind. Then because of the false identification, the spirit soul is identifying with this kind of thoughts, and it can be converted into the desire. That is through the process of thinking, feeling and willing. So due to that process, what happens? The spirit soul is thinking, you know, I need this. So it becomes my desire. So a thought is just a thought. But when the spirit soul identifies with that thought, what happens? It becomes, and will feel and will for that, what happens? It becomes a desire. I want that. Can you see? But the spirit soul is remaining as completely spiritual, but because of the identification, is thinking, you know, it's my desire. So material desire is not originating from the pure spirit soul, but it is from the conditioned nature of the spirit soul. Is that clear?
One more thing is there.
Yeah.
What you said, besides what you said, that it is also for Krishna giving us some liberty to think about this.
Yeah.
If you are thinking about Krishna, then you are on Krishna's side.
Yeah.
But because you are thinking something other than Krishna, so it becomes a lust. The love on one side and lust on the other side. So this is the
Free will. Thank you. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question.
Second thing you said that when we understand Shastra is to intelligence and realize Shastra is to mind, I just want to know how, when we realize Shastra, our impressions are going away. The mind, the impressions which mind is creating, how it is going away or how it is vanishing.
Yeah. So the question is, the intelligence is powered by Shastra, and the realization of the Shastra is through the mind, and how the impressions of the mind are removed by realizing. Is that your question? Okay. So here, there is one thing that needs to be stressed. Yes. The intelligence, one's intelligence has to be Shastra. That is the whole process. Why are we studying? So, instead of, we have already a material database which we are referring and thinking, and you know, instead we use Shastra. So, Shastra becomes our reference point. That becomes our intelligence. So, we don't think basically ourselves, but we use Shastra in our thought process. So, the intelligence is equated to Shastra now. Now, the realization, you said realization, how through realization the impressions go away, right? So realization doesn't come just by understanding of Shastra. Just theoretical understanding of Shastra using the mind is insufficient for realization. It is a need, but it is insufficient. So how do we realize the Shastra? Of course, we use mind, and that is not enough. What else do we need? We need the practice. We need the sadhana bhakti. We need chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We need worshipping of the deities. We need preaching. We need engagement. So when we actually engage ourselves in the devotional service, in the bhakti process, then we get the realization. As Bhagavatam says, Shrunatam Sagatha Krishna Punya Sharvana Kirtana Hridayantastohi Abhadrani Vidurnoti Suhrit Satam. So, who is actually removing the impression from the heart? Krishna is removing. Krishna is removing. Krishna, out of his compassion, he removes. It's not, okay, it is a fact. We can understand Shastra. We can nicely understand Shastra. We can use our mind, intelligence, we can understand Shastra. We can explain Shastra also. Still, the impressions and the attachments and the desires will not go away. So when we go through the process, ultimately, when we do endeavor by understanding and we endeavor by practicing devotional service, but we can see that Krishna is just by Krishna removes. Some anartha, we ourselves knows that, say, simple example, you may had some attachments before coming to Krishna consciousness, which were very strong. It can be, as simple as eating meat or, consuming some, alcohol for some people or coffee or tea. Anything, this kind of attachment we had, but through the process of Krishna consciousness, it's just gone. Say, for example, some can be quite straightforward. For example, if you get the taste of prasadam, higher taste, it goes away. Similarly, the same thing is applicable to desires also. Because we do struggle with certain kind of desires, which are not good. And we know, by Shastra, we know it is not good. In practice, we can see in our mind. But still, we haven't realized that. Still, the desires come in our mind. Okay, maybe try this. Then we use the intelligence to cut that. But when we actually practice Krishna consciousness, Krishna removes. One by one, Krishna removes. That is not bothering you at all. Can you see? So that is the hand of Krishna. Yeah, that is the hand of Krishna's mercy. Suhrit Satam. Because he is the true well-wisher of the living entity. So when he removes, then we don't have that problem. You understand? So that's how this impression is removed. Okay? Okay. Any final question? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Chimal Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gora Premanande.